Snarl.
Eh?
Snarl, is this a train for Snarl?
Oh, it's the one, sir. Change it, Linger.
Linger?
I mustn't keep the train waiting. Here you go, sir. Out of the cold, cold snow.
This looks very crowded.
Room for one in the corner, sir. In you go. Right you are, sir.
Oh, I do beg your pardon.
John Hurt in Appleby's End by Michael Innes. Dramatized by Michael Baker. With John the Measurer, Christopher Benjamin, Joyce Redman, and Pippa Garr.
Bare white fields and cattle steamy and dejected in the falling snow. And my traveling companions seem to have taken refuge from the world outside beneath the Sunday papers, the Sabbath devotions of the English nation. Love nest in Lewisham. Blunt instrument in Bootle. Thin-lipped women between policemen outside assize halls. Judges and coroners and detective inspectors from Scotland Yard. A young man standing outside a burnt-out stable wearing a frightful bowler hat. Good God, it's me! Classic crimes. The Gaffer Odger's murder. A triumph for Appleby of the Yard. Yes.
On the 27th of September, 1825, Stevenson drove a train of 34 vehicles at a speed of from 10 to 15 miles an hour. This was on the Stockton and Darlington Railway. It is sometimes possible to feel that our rural railway system has made little progress since.
It's tedious enough, I suppose. I see, sir, that you are interested in railway history.
Oh, dear me, no. In fact, certainly not. I have no interest whatsoever in such a subject. But I wonder if I might have the pleasure of lending you a book to while away the journey. Ah, there's, there's Dr. Bosson's recent work on the Docetists, a somewhat diffuse exposition, I'm afraid. But here is Stutterford on the Monophysites, an altogether more concise monograph, if one may judge by bulk.
You're very kind, but I'm afraid that the subject of heresy
is of no interest to you. Nor is it to me. Well, now, there are two romances by Anthony Hope, Spratt's History of the Royal Society, Spencer and Tiber on the Tyrannosaurus, a current turf guide, a volume of Livy, two pamphlets on artificial respiration.
I think Anthony Hope would be best.
The Prisoner of Zender?
Thank you. I suppose that you are a bookseller or publisher.
Oh, sir, I have never engaged in trade. Allow me to offer you my card.
Everard Raven, barrister at law. Thank you. Appleby is my name. I made my guess merely on the strength of the books you have with you. There seems to be no possible connection between any of them.
Oh, you're mistaken. Pardonably, sir, it must be confessed. For the link, although it is there, is scarcely as philosophical as I would wish. As a man of letters, well, I must explain, Mr. Appleby, that I've long since given over the practice of the law in favor of literary pursuits. But, as a man of letters, I must confess, indeed, that the link is a sadly arbitrary one. The Docetists and the Monophysites may be subsumed under the common term religion. The Tyrannosaurus is a reptile. Livy treats of the history of Rome. The Earth Guide concerns racing. Artificial respiration is an aspect of resuscitation. And Anthony Hope wrote about Ruritania.
Then would I be right if I were to have another guess and say that you are editing an encyclopedia?
Your guess would be approximately correct. Unfortunately, the word edit scarcely meets the case. You would be better to say compile.
Compile?
I'll write it. I'll write the whole damn thing.
The whole affair must be a rather burdensome task.
Well, sure it is. Particularly as we come out in fortnightly parts. I had a message only yesterday to say that Patagonia to Potato would be on the bookstalls on Thursday. It really is uncommonly heresy. Dirty night, Mr. Appleby. May I ask if you go far?
I change at Linger Junction.
Ah, Well, Mr. Appleby, don't let my idle chatter distract you from matters related to any...
The Prisoner of Zenda, being the history of 3 months in the life of an English gentleman.
Yatta. I beg your pardon.
Yatta.
A ghastly little place.
It seems quite popular. Everyone's got off.
Well, we shall be filling up again presently. Our next port of call is Abbott's Yatta, then King's Yatta, after which we come to Drew. I think you said you hoped to change at the Linger.
Yes.
St. Clement. Very, very inclement indeed.
You think there may be some difficulty about changing at Linger?
I suppose it was your aim to get to Sneak or Snarl.
I booked a room at the inn at Snarl, and I shall certainly hope to get there tonight.
Well, yes, I'd have to tell you that it can't be done. The train to Snarl never waits to make the connection.
But the timetable...
Oh, my dear sir, the timetable was printed long before Gregory Grope's grandmother fell down the well.
I hardly see.
For a long time she was just missing, and her house at Sneak, a very nice house, stood empty. But when she came up with the bucket one day, it was quite clear that she was dead. Gregory Grope's mother moved from Sneak to Snarl.
Do I understand that Gregory Grope is the engine driver?
Exactly. Exactly, sir. Yes, yes. Yes. Gregory Grope drives the Snarl train, and the train, of course, spends the night at Snarl. But Gregory has to get home on his motor bicycle to Sneak, and his mother is decidedly strict about late hours, so Gregory and his train now leave Linger somewhat earlier than before.
Perhaps you can tell me if there is an inn at Linger.
An inn? Oh, dear me, no. Well, there's a waiting room. But I think I'm right in saying that the waiting room is used at present for Brettingham Skirl's Gloucester Old Spots.
Brettingham Skirl?
The porter at Linger.
Gloucester Old Spots?
Gloucester Old Spots. Quite a cleanly variety of pig, I've been told. Nevertheless,
Now, what about King's Yatter or Drew? Is there a pub or somebody who might let a room?
Well, let me see now. There's old Mrs. Alstrup at Drew. She used to let a room. But I doubt if she does now. Not since she went out of her mind, poor old soul. Though, of course, you might try. King's Yatter already. You know the George at King's Yatter?
The George?
Oh, the fine little hotel. Incomparable Stilton and very good draft beer.
Oh, that I think... If you'll excuse me,
oh,
that
I... My dear sir, yes, sir, I'm sorry to say, it was burnt down last year by Hannah Hoobin's boy.
Oh, I suppose it's still snowing.
Heavily. I really think that your best plan would be to spend the night with me. My place is 3 stops beyond Linger. Fleet Hill, Fox's Bottom, and my own station, at which a conveyance will be waiting. And in the morning, I think we can promise to get you across the snow.
Well, it's uncommonly kind of you,
yes,
but I...
Yes, well, we can decide at Linger. I told you we should be filling up. Here's a passenger coming.
Not the kind of man likely to bring gaiety to the tail end of a Sabbath railway journey, I fancy. With that cloak and that hat, he would be either an anarchist or an artist. But which...
Ah, there's Linger. Yes, not a doubt of it. Gregory's gone. Oh.
So that's settled. What a writer of the old school would have described as tall and slim, but definitely attractive. But why does she keep staring at me? Come to think of it, the anarchist artist keeps staring at me as well.
Sleeps Hill in a regular blizzard. And we're still filling up.
Thank you.
box at bottom. And a snowman on the platform. Oh, no, it isn't. It's another passenger.
A young man. And he started to stare at me as well. What is it that's so strange about them? Better take refuge in Antony here. If you walk through the picture galleries of Burlesdon, among the 50 portraits or so of the last century and a half, you will find five or six, including that of the sixth Earl, distinguished by long, sharp, straight noses. The nose. That's it. All five of my fellow passengers have the same long, straight nose. Mind you, it looks quite attractive on the girl. If it weren't for the fact that they haven't uttered a single word to one another, one might suppose some degree of kinship between them. Is the nose a consequence of sustained inbreeding? Perhaps Brettingham's curl and Gregory Grope have it too. Perhaps it was the only remaining distinguishing feature on the old person who came up with the bucket out of the well.
We'll soon be there. And it's quite a short drive. Not more than 3 miles. Unless, of course, anything has gone wrong at the ford. Or there are snow drifts in Noblet's Lane, or the axle really goes this time, or our man has been drinking again at the Arms, or Spot cast the shoe.
One can't ever bar accidents, and I must repeat that it's uncommonly kind of you to ask me to stop the night.
Mr. Appleby. Mr. Appleby, who's an acquaintance I've only just had the pleasure of making. But, Mr. Appleby, this is my brother, Luke. My brother, Robert. My cousin, Mark. And my cousin, Judith. Oh, dear me, here we are.
Appleby, did you say?
Appleby.
Appleby? Well, let's stay on.
Appleby?
By the way, what is the name of this station?
Appleby's Inn! Hey-ho!
Should I join in? Is this the proper thing to do for passengers who arrive at Appleby's End? Or is it a ritual peculiar to the Ravens? And what about an Appleby? Oh, well. Hey-ho, hey-ho.
Hey-ho? Where the deuce have you been?
Been? I'm going to eat my dinner.
A most perfidious and drunken monster. With the face of a Raven.
I'm going to eat my dinner.
Now, Mr. Appleby, if you care to take your place in the family coach. You did remember to bring the foot warmer, hey-ho? There'll be just room inside for all.
No! No, you mun have potatoes.
Potatoes, hey-ho, what do you mean?
You mun have potatoes, and the hens mun have corn, and the cow mun have cake, and Spot mun have his bottle of hay. It is all taken up.
I suppose we might just fit Judith in on top of the sacks. But for the rest of us, it looks like the box.
And the boot. Perhaps some of us had better walk. But it would be a shame if we didn't manage to get Mr. Appleby inside, too. Oh,
please don't concern yourself about me. I can
quite
easily...
Quite right. Plenty of room for Mr. Appleby. Push him in.
Push
Push him in.
Push in the befriended stranger. Potato pie. Cake collops. And down with the lid.
Mr. Appleby, where are you?
Well, I don't quite know. My head's up against the roof. I think I'm on top of a bottle of hay.
Well, if you remain up there when we get in the lane, you will break your neck. And if you come down, you will find some 6 inches of seat between me and that sack. You will probably judge social embarrassment preferable to a dislocated cervical vertebra.
I'll see what can be done. It's a very tight fit. I believe that it was Dr. Johnson who held few pleasures to exceed that of driving through the country in a post-chaise with a pretty girl.
I should say you weigh about 11 stone 6.
Well, yes, I do.
And you must be just on 5'11", which suggests you are in pretty good condition for a don.
A don?
Well, only a don would bring out a pedantic thing like that about Dr. Johnson.
Thank you, but I'm not a don. I'm a policeman.
A policeman? Do you mean a detective? Shades of great Uncle Randall. No wonder Everard noggled you. He's always harking back to the disreputable family past.
Well, he hasn't mentioned your great Uncle Ranulph. Was he someone who had to be, detected by a detective?
Certainly not. Do you mean to say you've never heard of Ranulph Raven?
Ranulph Raven? Well, I seem to remember a pre-Raphaelite painter.
That was his cousin.
And a bishop who said something witty about Matthew Arnold.
Ranulph's younger brother.
A poet? Who was in the Foreign Office and wrote triolets and madrigals?
Another brother. And the grandfather of Mark and myself. Ranulph Raven had any number of younger brothers. He also had 3 sons, all of whom you've met. Everard, Luke and Robert. Mark and I are the children of their first cousin. What are called first cousins once removed. That's why we say cousin to them, although they're enormously old. Are you uncomfortable or just restless?
No, I'm not uncomfortable, but as it does appear to be necessary that one of us should sit on the other, I think it would be better.
Ranulph was a novelist.
Good Lord, yes. Stupid of me. A sort of second Wilkie Collins. And enormously prolific.
Ah, you've noticed Heyho.
Beg your pardon?
Just like Cousin Robert, isn't he? And most of the servants are legacies like that, I believe. And the only legacies Ranulph left. You'd have expected all those novels to have turned into a literal capital, wouldn't you?
Oh.
But nothing. Nothing at all. And we all seem to take to activities of that sort. I sculpt.
You what?
You know, bashing lumps of marble about with a hammer and chisel.
Yes, well, that would account for the particularly inhuman way you were looking at me on the train. I should have known that it was art.
Anyway, there isn't a bean in it, which is why I sponge on Uncle Everard and his encyclopedias and things like the rest of them. Anyway, what are you after?
After?
Well, you're obviously snooping around.
My dear Miss Raven, I assure you that it's only the merest accident.
Nonsense.
That...
It's perfectly clear that you put yourself cunningly in Everard's way. And a good thing, too. I felt for a long time that the whole business ought to be cleared up.
The whole business? Do I understand that you suppose me to have come down to clear up some family mystery?
It's as plain as a pikestaff. Only you'll have the devil of a business. You see, it's not so much a matter of clearing up the present as the past. Or, so it seems to me. And at Long Dream, there's a lot of the past lying about.
Long Dream?
That's the name of the place. Where Long Dream Manor.
Oh, I see. And you are the lady of the manor.
No. Aunt Clarissa is that. Ranulph's half-brother's daughter. You'll soon find your way about. There's a very helpful family tree in the hall.
Well, I doubt whether I shall have time to inspect it. My business is in a place called Snarl. In Long Green Manor and its inhabitants, I take no interest whatsoever.
Hey-ho! Keep your eye on the road. You'll have us in the
path for another ladder here.
And isn't it strange about our station being called Appleby's End?
A curious coincidence.
Just that.
Would you say it was the axle or just Spot casting a shoe?
Neither. It's the Ford. We're stuck in it.
Good Lord. Are you sure?
I'm sitting in several inches of water. And from this, as your professional training will tell you, there is the inference...
I'm going to try to get my head out of the window.
Hey-ho! Hey-ho! Hey-ho!
Hey-ho! Hey-ho!
Hey-ho! Hey-ho!
What's happening?
Hey-ho seems to have cut the traces and got away with Spot. They're on the farther side of the fort.
Oh, horrid scoundrel. What's he doing about it?
I rather think he's filling his pipe.
Oh, disgusting old man.
Hey-ho! Hey-ho! Hey-ho!
What about the others?
Well, they're on the other bank, yelling like mad. Hey-ho has produced a bottle. I think your cousin may be said to be upbraiding him.
I should jolly well think so. I say, isn't the water rising? It's up to nearly my armpit.
Oh, good Lord. Well, we must get a door open and edge out some of these confounded sacks. And then we'll be able to move. Right, here we go. Right. And another. And one more. And the potatoes won't come to any harm. But about the cake for the cow, I don't know at all. And as for the books on reptiles and religion and resuscitation...
I don't know what you're talking about. Do we wade or swim?
Wade, I think. Lord, we're floating.
We're spinning like a top.
We're certainly on the move.
Oh, my God.
We'd better swim.
Well, better wait. There's a shark there. He'll probably be washed up on the bank. It's coming up.
Certainly hasn't grounded. What happens after the bend?
Well, then you come to the river.
The river?
The dream. Gets quite broad here. Hello. Here comes the moon.
Absolutely grotesque. It might be on the Volga.
Of course, there isn't much of it like this. It narrows about a mile down. Why don't we sink?
Heaven knows. The sooner we stop being inside passengers, the better. It's either swim straight away or climb to the roof. If the first, get some of your clothes off. If the second, don't.
Well, we'll try the roof. Swing the door open and see if we can climb up by that. And as for clothes, a wet skirt is likely to be a nuisance in any case. Let's get rid of it now. After you.
Right. Up you come. Safe and for the moment. Reasonably sound.
It's rather restful. If this were August, it would be altogether romantic. I should forget my discarded skirt and the fact that my legs are beginning to feel rather chilly. I should look back and dream of my wonderful policeman. Our delights, I should recall, were dolphin-like. But his conduct was irreproachable, and his conversation uniformly improving.
Oh, bless you.
But as it is, I'd swap you without a moment's hesitation for a bowl of hot soup.
It's a pity there seems to be nobody abroad at this hour. We should become a legend that would haunt the countryside for generations, don't you think?
Well, quite enough legends already. All this is the Raven Country still, you know.
Is it indeed? Then you can't be so overwhelming a burden on your cousin Everard's resources.
Oh, my dear ma'am, I don't mean we own it. All Everard has left is a chunk of park and a couple of hummocky farms. I mean, this is the country Ranulph wrote about. Hardy's Wessex, Trollope's Barsetshire, Ranulph Raven's dream country, see?
I see. And did Ranulph create the legends or just find them lying about?
Oh, it rather seems as if he grubbed them up. Anything with lurid possibilities that happened within 20 miles about, he would ferret out and add knobs to.
What a dismal trade.
I think this moonlight voyage has gone on long enough. I vote we swim. There's a 5-mile walk ahead of us already. No chance of dinner.
By Jove, we're drifting straight inshore. Come on, we'll make dinner yet. When I say jump, jump.
Don't be silly. I shall jump when I think it's a good idea myself. And if it's me that falls in...
No!
Oh!
Are you all right?
Oh, fine, thanks.
Well, where the deuce is your coat?
I left it on board. Too heavy and flappy to risk jumping in.
Oh, here, put this on.
If you turn out to be the chivalrous type of policeman, I shall bite.
Put it on.
Nonsense. Once I get walking briskly, I shall
look,
be...
Do you think that I propose to be found roaming round the country with a disrobed girl?
No.
Put it on and let's tramp, for the Lord's sake. Why I didn't choose Brettingham, what's-his-name's pigs, I'll never know.
Take it back about the pigs and I'll give you some chocolate.
I take it back. I suppose you can find your way.
Oh, at least I think so. The country is certainly oddly unfamiliar in the snow and by moonlight. Oh, look, there's a house over there to your left.
Come on. It isn't a house, it's a haystack. I suppose that means there must be a house of sorts somewhere nearby if we follow this fence.
I say, I've been told that haystacks are most frightfully snug. One takes off one's wet clothes and burrows in. At first, it's extremely prickly, but presently, a delicious warmth...
I don't believe a word of it.
A delicious warmth steals through every limb. Oh, come on, let's try. Hold your coat while I get out of these wet things.
There'll be rats.
Rats?
Yes, rats. Place teeming with them.
Oh, and I said rats. I believe you think it's improper. Here's a ladder. Come on. Or shall I draw it up after me?
Leave it where it is. Have I been asleep? It's certainly warm. God only knows what the Assistant Commissioner would think if he got to hear about this. Miss Raven?
Yes?
We ought to be going soon.
Oh, I'm not going. I'm sleepy.
I don't believe a word of it. Tell me, what on earth put it into your head that I was proposing to investigate the mouldering skeletons in the Raven family cupboards?
Oh, I don't know what you're talking about. Comfy now.
I don't believe that your cupboards have any skeletons at all, except of mice and bats and spiders. If spiders have skeletons.
Our cupboards have got skeletons.
They have not.
Very well. Listen. You must understand that my brother Mark and I have lived at Dream ever since we were children. Our parents were dead, you see. And Ranulph, of course, had died 20 or 30 years before, and nobody thought of him. Or so you would think. Certainly nobody bought his books anymore, and he blued all he ever made out of them. So it was quite a time before Mark and I found out that there was a Ranulph Raven legend. What you might call a popular legend. The first we heard of it was from a blind old man who came tap-tapping over the bridge with a stick.
And delivered a black spot. I do think when you start telling a yarn, you should keep off Treasure Island.
The blind man leant over a gate and talked to us in a cunning, fearful sort of voice. Come here, young lady and gentleman, he said. Come here, my dears, and let me talk to you. Master Raven, young sir, and Miss Raven, my young lady, very proud of your famous grandfather you must be, my dears, and great scholars you must be with all these grand book-learned folk in your family. Mind you, I don't say he said it just like that. I'm no good at dialect, and he's beginning to sound like an Irishman, which he wasn't, but that was the general effect.
Go on.
Well, then he said, did your dear grandfather ever write down the story of the blind lad that killed his brother? The blind lad who hated his brother for what he'd taken from him, and knew he always would hate him. And I was scared. And I think Mark was scared, too. But scared just puts the devil in Mark. Yes, of course, he said. That's one of the most famous stories Grandfather ever wrote. And instead of showing panic or alarm, as you might have expected, a look came over the blind man's face of the most ghastly disappointment. And he said, then a curse on him and you. And we never saw him again.
And is there a Ranulph Raven story?
There is not. A curse on him and you. And we never saw him again.
And is there a Ranulph Raven story?
There is not.